Hi everybody, welcome to this episode of the Heart Podcast. It's James Rudd here. Today I'm delighted to have a chat with Dr. Tomio Tran from Seattle, University of Washington. Tomio is a cardiologist there, and he's published an interesting paper in Heart which compares the use of a smartwatch to measure VO2 max in patients with adult congenital heart disease and comparing that with CPET testing and how the two compare, both one-on-one measurements and also longitudinally. It's an interesting study, maybe setting a precedent for future work using non-invasive monitoring as opposed to CPET testing. We discuss the outcome of the study, and I really hope you enjoy the discussion. Please feel free to leave us a podcast review wherever you get your podcasts. It really does help us to reach new audience members. Enjoy the show. Thanks so much for joining me today, Dr. Tran, for this episode of the Heart Podcast. Maybe I can start off by having you introduce yourself for the Heart audience. Who are you? Where do you work? And what do you do there?
Well, thank you for having me here today. It's an honor to be on this podcast. My name is Tomio Tran. I'm a clinical assistant professor. I'm based at the Seattle Veterans Affairs Hospital in Washington State in the United States, with a faculty appointment at the University of Washington Department of Medicine Division of Cardiology. I have a clinical interest in cardiac imaging, prevention, and exercise physiology.
Perfect. And I wanted to get you on the podcast to talk about a study which you published in Heart. It's an original research study, which is called Peak Oxygen Consumption by Smartwatches Compared with Cardiopulmonary Exercise Test in Complex Congenital Heart Disease. And this is an area, I think, of wide interest to our audience, the increasing use of smartwatches, and many patients bring EKG tracings into clinic, for example, but the use of it to measure things that are a little bit more advanced than simple heart rate, and particularly in this group of patients, really caught my eye, and I wanted to get you on to have a bit more of a chat about it. But maybe we can start off by having you perhaps give us a little bit of background and motivation for the study. What was it that prompted you to write this study and do this study right now?
Yeah, well, as you said, I think consumer health technology is rapidly on the rise, and us physicians have to kind of keep up with the data and the information that patients bring to us. You mentioned that patients frequently bring in their ECG that they trace on their phone. They also have other devices like home blood pressure cuffs and oxygen saturation probes, and we kind of have to sort through that information. I think within the electrophysiology community, smartwatch atrial fibrillation detection has been approved by regulatory agencies to be used in inpatient care. But our question is, with this new technology to determine VO2 on a smartwatch, we really wanted to know, can this be incorporated into patient care, specifically adult congenital heart disease patients, because VO2 is a very important variable that we measure in these patients. However, the major issues that we see is that these aren't really validated in adult congenital heart disease populations, and for the most part, not even in populations with cardiovascular disease. They use proprietary algorithms that are not readily available to both consumers and physicians. So we kind of have to tread lightly. So we really wanted to see if we can use this information.
So this is really a scene setting kind of information gathering study, I guess, from your side. And maybe you can explain for those who are not familiar with VO2 max, how smartwatches measure peak oxygen consumption. And how you think it might correlate with, let's say, the gold standard of a CPET testing?
Yeah, I think it's helpful to define some terms first. So VO2 max is the theoretical maximum amount of oxygen uptake by the exercising muscles that a patient can obtain. And as you said, the gold standard to measure this is a cardiopulmonary exercise test, or a CPET, where we measure gas exchange with a non-rebreather mask. We measure blood pressure, heart rate, and rhythm with an ECG during a symptom-limited exercise test, which is usually done on a treadmill or a cycle ergometer. And what we really measure actually is the peak VO2, and this is often used interchangeably with VO2 max. The peak VO2 is simply just the highest VO2 a patient can obtain during a CPET. And when any additional amount of exercise can't raise the VO2 any higher, then the peak VO2 approximates VO2 max. With a smartwatch, really, you can only measure heart rate and the type of exercise, and then you input some patient variables like BMI and or rather height, weight, sex, and age, and then it uses an algorithm to try to figure out what the VO2 max is. And it's not just for one type of exercise; it actually aggregates multiple types of exercise over time, whether that's weightlifting, just walking, running, swimming, and then it gives you this VO2 max score. So we wanted to compare that aggregate score to what we would measure in a test and see if that would hold up.
And as you suggest, I'm assuming that the companies have got algorithms that are predominantly tested in healthy populations, right? It's hard to know how well they've been validated in anybody with any disease, particularly not something as complex as congenital heart disease. And why is the VO2 max important in this patient group? Is there anything you can tell us about how a VO2 max value might impact survival or any other features of complex congenital heart disease?
Yeah, well, across many populations, we know that a higher VO2 max score leads to less morbidity and mortality. I mean, it just makes sense. If patients can exercise more than right, they're in general going to be healthier.
Yeah.
With the ACHD population, this is really important because these patients are typically born with their congenital defect. So they may never know what normal is, and they don't have anything to compare to. So when you treat a mix of patients who have a very wide spectrum of disease, it's hard to know what the normal standard is. So we like to have some kind of quantifiable variable that we can measure over time. And that's why CPET testing is actually recommended on a pretty regular basis, depending on the type of congenital heart disease. It's in the 2018 AHA ACC guidelines that we should follow this anywhere from every 6 months to every 24 months, depending on the type and stage of the heart disease.
And presumably the reason for that is because it gives you some ideas to the likely outcome and the trajectory of
exactly,
the patient's
course. Exactly. Yeah, it helps guide, it gives us some prognostic value, and it also helps us make treatment decisions on whether, for example, you need to intervene on a valve or think about or close a shunt or something like that.
Right, right. And of course, we know from the heart failure literature that VO2 max is super predictive of bad outcomes in that population as well. So what were the methods that you set up, Dr. Tran, to perform your comparison between CPET and smartwatch VO2 max?
And so we wanted to study a complex ACHD population, which included patients with a Fontan circulation and patients with a systemic right ventricle, such as what we see in transposition of the great arteries. These patients received CPET as part of their routine care prior to being enrolled in the study. And they were recruited to our study if they had a smartwatch that had the abilities to measure VO2 max. And at the time, that was just Apple and Garmin. And they had to have exercised with the watch a few weeks prior to their CPET to have updated numbers on the algorithm. And then we recorded CPET data, clinical data from a recent echocardiogram, medication usage, and then their smartwatch data, which included heart rate and the VO2 max. We excluded patients with pacemakers because we know that the algorithm predominantly uses heart rate variability to determine the peak VO2. So we didn't want that to interfere. Patients with peak exercise saturations lower than 90% were also excluded because we thought that this would be a confounding variable as well. And it's not accurately captured with the smartwatch.
Got you. And what were the headline results of your study? And if you wanted to talk any more about the methods, please feel free or jump into the results. Up to you.
Oh, yeah. So additionally, for the methods, we wanted to also figure out whether the smartwatch could also pick up changes over time, rather than just being precise and accurate at one point in time. So we included two CPETs that were more than a year apart. And then additionally, for our statistical analysis, we used a linear regression model, and the covariates that we adjusted for were age, sex, BMI, heart rate, ACHD type, the systemic ventricular ejection fraction, and beta blocker usage.
Okay. And what were your headline results?
So the main finding is that smartwatch-based VO2 measurements have good precision and accuracy compared to CPET VO2. And it is also able to detect small changes in the VO2 max over time. The additional finding is that smartwatches tended to overestimate the peak heart rate and the VO2 max when compared to CPET. Both of those are in accordance with each other.
Okay. And were the correlations, the agreements between the measurements pretty strong? Were you surprised by how well the smartwatches did?
We were pretty surprised at our findings. We initially thought that the smartwatch would only be able to pick up changes over time and trends rather than accurately or precisely predict the VO2.
Interesting. And your study also mentioned some factors associated with the correlation between the smartwatch and the CPET derived VO2 max. Can you talk a little bit about that and how that might impact the accuracy of the measurements in your population?
Yeah. So heart rate was the predominant factor that was responsible for the agreement between CPET VO2 and smartwatch VO2. And we did demonstrate a linear relationship in the peak heart rate with the VO2 max in our linear regression. The other contributing factors were age, sex, height, and weight. And we already know that in the general population that these factors do influence the VO2 max during a CPET. So, for example, in one of our in our linear regression, we found that there was an interaction between heart rate and BMI. So at higher BMI, our statistical analysis shows that the relationship between heart rate and VO2 max is actually attenuated. This suggests that smartwatches can accurately adjust for these factors in an ACHD population.
That's interesting, isn't it? And it's fairly important work, I'd say, because having a CPET testing is quite a big deal, right? It's uncomfortable in some cases. You have to push the patients pretty hard. And if they can just do day-to-day life, maybe with some exercise sessions thrown in and you can get a pretty good measurement, then that is likely, if shown, if reproduced in other conditions, maybe larger studies, is likely to have a big impact on the management of this patient group in the future.
Exactly. And I just want to point out that our study ran from 2018 to 2022. So this was during the right. COVID pandemic. And so, with the respiratory portion of the exercise and coming in and exercising, people were rightfully scared to have these patients come in. So we actually, used these smartwatches quite a bit to kind of track patients' VO2.
Yeah, I bet. And how do you see the integration of using smartwatches into more routine care going forward, Dr. Tran? Where do you think the sort of potential benefits, but maybe some of the challenges might lie?
Yeah, I think this can definitely be an adjunct to the typical tools we use for patient care. But I don't think this can be a replacement for CPET. I think there's a lot of variables that we find that we can measure in a CPET. Such as, actually just watching the patient exercise and seeing how they do, but also the pulmonary function of the CPET actually gives some prognostic and diagnostic value as well. One issue is that these are largely unregulated devices, right? They're not really approved for medical and treatment decisions. Right. And in general, medical advances just greatly lag behind technological advancements due to these regulations. So we have to rely on the word of manufacturers until these studies are validated, which we have to be very careful of.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And as an Apple Watch owner myself, I know every time I record an ECG on myself just for fun, it does say this is kind of a fun activity, right? It says you shouldn't be using this to make any medical decisions. And if you have symptoms of any illness, you should seek assistance from your doctor. So as you say, interesting study to do. But at the moment, I'm sure Apple would not recommend doing exactly, putting it out there, replacing CPET testing. But what are the next steps in your research? How are you going to take this forward?
It remains to be seen how this can change patient outcomes, right? This is just kind of a feasibility study. So I think the next steps would be to see if we can use this in treatment decision algorithms and whether it can maybe stretch out the time frame of when we can do CPET testing. And this may reduce healthcare costs down the line and may make it easier for patients, especially those that are living in more geographically isolated areas.
Yeah. And I also, I noticed the idea of the being able to follow the trend in VO2 max from a smartwatch is also something that you draw on your conclusions, saying that that's important, be able to have these serial measurements rather than just a single measurement. And as you say, I guess that may also impact how you follow up these patients in the future.
Exactly. I think using these in combination. So for example, if a patient that you're particularly concerned about has a large drop in their VO2 over the course of several months, then maybe bringing in that patient for more additional testing to do a formal CPET testing to confirm those findings and make a treatment decision based on that.
That sounds like a good starting point. Well, I'll certainly make the study free to all readers for a few weeks if it's not already open access as soon as the podcast comes out, and people can read the study in far more detail than we've had time to cover here. But I just wanted to wrap up by thanking you very much for your time, Dr. Tran, and good luck with the rest of your work.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate being here today.